Good morning, everyone. I'd like for us to consider a few things. Something I've encountered a few times recently, as I try to get my text pulled up here. A few things that I've encountered recently. I've encountered them multiple times, and I believe many of you have as well. And this deals with when you're talking with people, and the question comes up, is God just? Now, I want us to consider, as we begin, thinking about there are many different reasons why suffering in this world can occur. Some suffering is brought on by the consequences of one's own poor decisions in life. Some suffering is brought on by time and chance. It just happened, and no one really knows or understands why, or it couldn't have been prevented. And some suffering is brought on the innocent as a consequence of someone else's actions. In setting the stage for this discussion, I'm going to give a couple examples, and then we'll have applications as we consider how to address people who have these thoughts, or if we have these thoughts as well. I know someone who was in a car wreck several years ago and was permanently disabled as a result. And the wreck was his fault. He will suffer the consequences of that moment for the rest of his life. And that is sad, but we can understand why he's facing that situation. But that same wreck also involved another car. The driver of the other car was coming the opposite direction on a two-lane road topping the hill, and when she topped the hill, he was in her lane. A life ended, and a family was forever changed in an instant when this young woman, who apparently did nothing wrong, died because of someone else's negligence. In considering this horrible situation, some in the world will make a statement something similar to, if God was just, then he wouldn't allow things like this to happen on earth. So one of the things we'll be talking about is suffering on earth. There's another type of suffering that we'll also consider, which is eternal suffering in hell. With a general knowledge that there have been some who have lost their faith in God because of this concept of suffering, I went to the internet looking for a blog. That's not something that I do a lot of, but I sought something out. And I was searching for people who had experienced difficulties and suffering in life, and as a result, no longer wish to be Christians. And guess what I found? A lot. With just the exception of changing a word or two because of, quite honestly, vulgarity, I'm going to read exactly what was said in this one statement. A man wrote, "It doesn't make logical sense that a loving God would burn people in hell for eternity. It doesn't make sense that God knows full well what we will decide to believe and creates us anyway," he says, knowing we will burn for eternity. He creates billions of people for the sole purpose of burning for eternity, yet he is the ultimate righteous and loving God. Yeah, right. Makes no sense, and that's why I don't believe. Now, these two situations I've given are very, very different. But those with little Bible knowledge of what God really says can blame God for both of these different ideas, these situations, these considerations associated with potential suffering. I believe that there are a few things we need to understand, and that we need to be ready to answer people. We need to be able to secure in our own minds if we hear these types of questions, statements, considerations. It's a very common way of thinking in the world. But I do believe that it is an example of lack of understanding, like I said a moment ago, of what our Maker has told us. So the first idea that I want us to consider, and I want us to be ready to explain, is that God is not man, and man is not God. We could look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, where we read God explaining, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." Let me start over. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. And he goes on to say, "Even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's noteworthy, I believe, that from very early in man's history, God provided us an account of what happened to a man who was dealing with much suffering. And so much of the account of what all happened, what he could see and what he could not see at the time, is recorded for us, and that is in the account of Job. Job faced tremendous loss one day at the hand of Satan, which God allowed for his testing. And then it got worse. Eventually, Job questioned God because of the tragedies that he had faced on earth. And he quickly learned that he didn't understand what he thought he understood. In Job chapter 40, in verse 2, God speaking here to a questioning Job. God says, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" The New American Standard renders that same thing, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty?" And then God continues, "He who rebukes God, let him answer it." And he asks questions that Job has no ability to answer. In Job chapter 42, in verse 3, after hearing God question him, Job states, "I've declared that I do not understand." And in verse 6, he goes on to say, "I repent in dust and ashes." We're not going to understand all of the whys in life, but we need to understand that when we consider an all-powerful and loving God, it is foolishness for us to ask the principle, is God just? In a similar thought process, we must also understand and be ready to explain that earth and heaven are very different. This physical creation is temporary and the spiritual realm is eternal. Jesus taught this several different ways and at different times while he was here. But in Matthew 25, 46, he taught that the rebellious will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. It's apparent to me that if there was no eternal life, if there was no reward, if there was no change versus what we face on this earth, in this physical life, that this would be the absolute best that we could ever look forward to, then it would be much harder to deal with the difficulties and sometimes seemingly unjust situations that we face. In Revelation 21:3-4, John writes of what he has been revealed to him of heaven and what he sees, and he says, "Those there, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." So the issues of suffering and justice will not be a problem in eternity for the faithful. But for those who are not obedient to God, there's a true reason for dread and worry that's difficult to clear from the mind. That's key for us to understand that no one has to go there. No one has to go to hell. The Creator has made a way for us to avoid eternal punishment. And the simple fact that mankind refuses to follow the instruction of the Creator does not make the Creator unjust. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God does not wish any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Another thought. When God created man, He created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They didn't step into a creation facing a multitude of problems. God gave mankind the ability to make his own decisions. And along with those decisions come consequences, which they soon learned when they sinned. Some of the difficulties and suffering we experience in this life can be attributed to sin and its consequences, whether by us or whether by those around us. You see, God is a just God, and He designed a beautiful creation. Man's sin has brought many problems, unfortunately, though, that we have to deal with. Another point. God promises, as we will read in Hebrews chapter 12, God promises to instruct and reprove us in this life. And we may very well not enjoy that, appreciate that at the time. Now, we learn from our physical parents, and we understand that discipline happens in that relationship. So why shouldn't we consider it to be in some positive aspect when God does the same? Hebrews 12, pulling a couple of verses, Hebrews 12, 4 through 11, we can read, "Those whom He loves, He disciplines." In verse 11, "All discipline for the moment does not seem to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." And we should conclude that difficulty in life does not mean God has forsaken us. Another consideration. If we look at, if you would turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm greatly encouraged by the Apostle Paul. He faced difficulties and injustices that none of us have ever faced. He was beaten repeatedly for following Christ. In his work, he was shipwrecked. He writes of being, not having enough clothes, not having a place to be, being beaten over and over again. And he says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Later he says, "For in hope we've been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." He continues on and says that God intercedes, that Jesus intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He goes on to say, "What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" He goes on to say, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." sometimes our problem, and sometimes the problem with people in the world is perception and understanding and looking forward to eternity. For the sake of time, I need to move very quickly. If we face suffering in this life that is not a result of our own actions, we need to remember that we are not alone in this either. God the Son, Jesus, left heaven and came to earth to live as one of us and unjustly experienced suffering throughout his life and death here. That was injustice. Injustice. Jesus understands the concept of injustice, but he is not guilty of it. Was God unjust when he allowed Jesus to die for us? No. Was God unjust when his prophets were allowed to be mistreated and executed in Israel and Judah in pursuit of his work? Was God unjust when his apostles were executed for being faithful witnesses of Christ, preaching and establishing churches? The real question is God just? And the answer is yes. God is just, even though sin and suffering happen on earth. Many who believe God to be unjust or cruel simply do not understand God as we learn of him in the Bible. But they give up and lean on their own understanding and assumptions versus what the Creator has instructed. We need to remember that the Bible makes a promise of coming judgment for every person with eternal consequence, either approval and eternity with God in heaven or condemnation and eternity in hell with God. Therefore, the bottom underlying reality is that many are truly worried with the concept of future suffering. And rightly so. We who have an understanding of God's word have a responsibility to go and teach and help the lost to see.